back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This is the finale. This is the best part, which is why I invited Marshall, because he's here. Restaurant Association of Maryland has sponsored us for Maryland Restaurant Week. Also, the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, our final segment. We are in Greenmount Station, as the sign says. Chris Richards here, the owner, proprietor, my longtime friend. We're going on almost two decades of friendship. We met at the Ravens Stadium doing a charity turn for Big Brothers Big Sisters, where I tasted his delicious little crab balls that night, and I said, man, those are good. They taste like Angelina's or like Michael's Up Timoni and the good stuff. And I've been coming here for 15 years. We've had a bunch of shows here, and we're ending this where we ended last week. Marshall Weston here from the Restaurant Association of Maryland. You came back for the crab cakes. I mean, you had Costas, now you had to have great. You're doing the whole, I'll see you at Fadley soon, probably, too.
Well, this is hometown right here, so it's very easy. We've been here lots of times, and we got a few more days left in restaurant week, but it's always good to see Chris.
Dude, is that a dead shirt?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
See, man.
I'm an okay guy.
I made him wait like an hour last week. And for the rest of our relationship, I'll feel we're sideways because he came in and we got times mixed up. I had Johnny O on. And I hope everybody goes out and listens to that. It was a great, great segment that we did with Johnny O last week. And by the way, I haven't promoted in this segment. We're going to be with Brandon Scott on the 8th at Coco's next Friday, the 1st, before the Denver game. We're going to be at Nacho Mama's in Towson, telling Towson stories and hopefully feed on the street and all that good stuff. The restaurant week and people like Chris, this is what you do. I didn't put you on with the Costas guys and Nick and Pete and everybody last week, but what you do is help people like them and create an association so that you can have something like Restaurant Week where everybody in the state, you put something on the menu, and we try to get more people out and stimulate business during a slow time.
Yep. You know, people like Chris, you know, they're out here busting their rear end every single day of the year to keep their businesses running. They don't sit at home and watch their business from afar, right? They're in the kitchen, they're in the dining rooms, and that's where we come in. We kind of fill in the gaps. We make sure we've got the resources. We're talking to government officials. We're doing everything we can to make sure they're set up for success and they can do what they do best, which is make great food and great hospitality.
We've been sitting here, Chris, we're talking about government helping, you know, and associations helping, and restaurants kind of being on their own, right? I mean, there's a little part of the entrepreneurial thing, especially a year and a half ago where you felt like, I'm drowning. I'm out here alone. I need a PPP. I need help. I need government help. I need curbside. I need a parklet. I need a. I need an easement to put something on the outside or whatever. This is, everyone has had to deal with this that serves a crab cake in this state, right?
That's absolutely true, and Marshall's right. They were really instrumental in getting back to us. I mean, really quickly. I know I emailed you a couple times throughout the pandemic just to get clarification. Every time the governor would speak at the you know, his press conferences on the updates and what the new regulations were, we were like, okay, well, what does this mean? Does it mean we actually have to have
the... Every restaurateur I know was waiting for the 3 o'clock press conference every day, right? Like, literally.
And every restaurateur I knew was calling me at 3:35 looking for clarification after the press conference. So,
who else was looking for clarification? The county executives were looking for clarification, too, because I was on the line with them, and they're all like, hey, you know, Larry's just issuing edicts, you know? And I think for the county executives, they all kind of got together, and the more I've talked to them, they're like, this thing is strengthening government all the way around because government's been taxed, restaurants have been taxed, everybody's been taxed through this, you know?
I agree. But it's nice to have the resources. We talked to Jim. They sent us stuff. Sometimes it was a duplicate or we already knew what was going on, and sometimes maybe at the local level the town offered you more, but most of the time the Restaurant Association is who we went to, and literally within, I don't know, you guys had it out that night usually. Whatever was said that day at 3, that night you know, that we'd have an email from the
here come the crab cakes. This is my favorite part of the segment. I went fried. Oh, that's warm. Fried and broiled. I went with rice and broccoli here. So I'm going to put it out on the set while we sit here and continue the conversation. How is restaurant week going? Or do I mean, it's the end of restaurant week. I think a lot of times the county restaurant weeks would issue that Friday bulletin and say, we've extended restaurant week. So I kind of maybe thought maybe that's coming from you. I don't know well enough to ask. But we're at the end of it. And you put a lot of initiatives, 6 months of work to get this week to be something special for hundreds of restaurants around
the
state, right?
I mean, and it's not really about us in our office. Yeah, we're the ones who put it all together. But, you know, we just wanted to make sure that everybody knows, you know, restaurants are out there. Every neighborhood restaurant is just, you know, they're struggling with lots of different things, right? And it's just, there's another...
Help wanted.
That's the main one. That's a big one. But the price of everything, it seems to be going up. There's that too. And, you know, we still have some people that are a little bit hesitant to go out to eat because of COVID and the Delta variant and all these different things. And, you know, you got to understand that. So, you know, the challenges are still there. And for at least 1 week out of the year, we're like, hey, just remember your local restaurant. They're the backbone of your community. Go, you know, check them out, find something new. And, you know, it may be the last weekend here, but, you know, every weekend's restaurant weekend. Every day of the week can be a restaurant week. So, you know, it's important to remember our restaurants, and it's important to remember those great employees who work.
Well, this is happy hour right now for me. So, you know, a lot of these, I'm going to release all the videos, and I did 30 crab cakes, I actually did 42 crab cakes in 30 days in 36 places, because there were some days I did two. You know, when we were traveling, I didn't know if I was going to pass that way again. Now it turns out I'm going to be doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days next year, so I'll get back to all the places I didn't hit, including up here in Carroll County, by the way, because we were over in Westminster at Maggie's earlier. And I got some other rock salt. There's a bunch of places you can get a crab cake, but I'm at the epicenter of the place where I began my journey up here in Carroll County. I met you 15 years ago. It was more fried when you served me the first one, right? You were doing little crab balls that day?
They were crab balls, but they were still broiled. They weren't fried.
They were broiled.
They were broiled, yeah.
See, I would have bet my life that was fried.
No.
All right, so recipe story for the famous and shippable and deliverable Green Man. You can just click online and order, and this will come to you, right?
That's correct.
How long have you been shipping?
Probably since late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, you got a reputation for this early on. I mean, I've known you 15 years. I met you through crab cakes. When did you decide to be a crab cake guy, and when it's $60 a pound, did you decide to get out of the business?
So my dad was a crab cake connoisseur, and that's where it started. So I had to go to him before we even opened, you know. A lot of things had to happen for Greenmount to take place, but I got out of Towson University, or it was Towson
State.
You
mind if I eat this?
No, go ahead.
Is this tartar?
The top is tartar, the bottom is cocktail.
Marshall, we had this argument last week about tartar. Did we talk about this?
We did not.
Okay, we're going to talk about this, because everywhere I went on the tour, I'm East Baltimore, so like mustard and crackers, you know, on a cheaper crab cake, on a little fried, you know, claw meat, like we used to throw it together. I grew up poor. We had cocktail sauce always, and as a kid, if you like ketchup, it's got a little spice to it. I ate it on oysters and whatnot, so yeah, cocktail, delicious. The tartar thing to me, this was shocking to me. I started on the Eastern Shore, and I worked my way back. Then I went to Southern Maryland, and I worked my way back. Then I went back to the Eastern Shore. 20 days in, I realized I had not gotten one crab cake ever served to me without tartar sauce. That in every restaurant I went in, upscale, downscale, Eastern Shore, Western Shore, everyone gave me tartar sauce. And I thought to myself, I'm 53 years old. I've never eaten tartar sauce with a crab cake. I eat it with fish sticks. I've never noticed that you serve it with me, or if I'm at wherever, that they would serve me tartar sauce. I've never thought of tartar sauce as being a ubiquitous part. Maybe a lime would come with a crab cake almost always. I thought celery seed was ubiquitous at crab cakes. I thought almost everyone would have it. Way off on that. Way off on that. But the tartar sauce, this is my Anthony Bourdain contribution to your Restaurant Association of Marylandness. I am convinced that in this state, we waste more tartar sauce. That in your kitchen, this will come back with a lid on 9 out of 10 times, that nobody sane would eat a crab cake with tartar sauce. So
Chris,
I'll leave it at that.
No, so normally, she would have asked you when you place the order. So I didn't ask you when you ordered
it. So you don't serve it mandatory?
So we don't serve it mandatory. So what we do is when we run the food, I always do this if I'm running food. I'm like, hey, would you like any cocktail or tartar? Because I give the servers.
Does anybody really say I want tartar?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Believe it or not, I mean, it's not that much. I got to be honest. I'd say the overwhelming majority of people get it without either. They don't eat cocktail
this
or
tart. This is a perfect crab cake,
but,
right?
You know, you have people that's the way they do it. They eat it with that. And then actually, you're right. There's some people that want mustard. They eat mustard on the crab cake. But, yeah, I would say most people, well over 50% of our customers, just eat it the way that it's served without any.
I don't love tartar sauce, but I've tried them in every place to see if I had a tartar sauce at the Davis's Pub in Annapolis. It was delightful. It had it just had more going on. It had some dill in it. It had some lemon. It was flavorful. It didn't taste like mayonnaise and pickled relish. You know, I don't. So for me with crab cakes, I don't. But everywhere I went, I got it. And I thought to myself, most people have to throw this out. Most people.
Well, that's why we stopped serving it with it, because you're trying to
come back.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily the saving money. It's as much about waste. You know, you just don't like to waste anything. And you can't take, if, you know, with the lid on it, we would take it back and we're okay, I guess, if we had the lid. But we don't serve it with the lid on anyway.
All right, so Dad's a crab cake connoisseur. I interrupted that story with the tartar sauce because I was distracted.
I got you.
But it's good to know that you're going to eat this the right way and not put anything on it, because don't take away from that crab.
See, this is weird, because in every other place, I'm like, what that tastes like. I know exactly what. I've had 200 of your crab cakes here, probably. I mean, at least 100. Well, at least 100.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, at least 100 crab. And this is the first one I've ever had broiled, other than the first one I had, which you told me was broiled. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to have the fried one first, because I'm going to enjoy this the most.
Yeah, so anyway.
Dad.
Yeah, Dad. My dad is who I went to when I wanted to, when I had the idea to open the restaurant. Because, as I told you before, Nick's Pizzeria, he had sold his restaurant to somebody who I didn't do so well with it for the 6 months after he sold it.
Now, he didn't serve a crab cake.
So we...
it was just a pizza place?
It was just pizza, yeah. So then so then we looked into to doing that, and you know, his idea was to have a crab cake because that was his favorite thing. So we went around town. He had his favorites. It's funny that you mentioned Angelina's, because that was one of his favorites. And...
to me, that was the Gucci crab cake. I'm from Dundalk. I had 100 crab cakes in Dundalk. They were all really good. Saltier. I mean, Old Bay-ish leads with that. I think that's an East Baltimore thing from me having been all over the state. But I had the first Angelina's crab cake with the Smithereens, who I'm going to be seeing down in Annapolis in a couple weeks. My dear friend Rich Abrahams had them play a show at the Towson Center, and he was a promoter. It was probably 1988, so I'm 20 years old. And I was backstage, and he catered it in, and he liked their crab cakes. I had never heard of Angelina's in my life. I mean, like, I was 20 years old, and I lived my whole life in Baltimore. I'm where I ate it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it was like I'd never had a crab cake. And I said, where is this? And I started going over there. And I bet I didn't go to Angelina's 20 times in my life, because it went out of business, you know, not far after that. My wife went to Angelina's once in 2003. And Angelina's was like a special occasion place for me. I went twice a year. And I had crab cake sponsors I had a million places I could get a crab cake. So going to Angelina's felt like I was going to the best place to get a crab cake when I was 20. And you and Michael's and Timonium have a similar sort of beat to that. And you've told me that yours is related to the Michael's crab cake in some way, right?
My dad, that was one of his favorites, was Michael's, and he was friends with the Dulles family
to a degree, as being a
customer there, I guess.
I've taken Barry Trotz to their place, too. They were sponsor as well. I'm very fond of those folks.
And
Steve and everyone over there.
While we didn't get any kind of recipes or anything like that, we were fortunate enough to just get some ideas. And
I just ate the fried, and I just ate the broiled, and guess what? I like the fried better. And I just do.
It doesn't surprise me.
And I just do. I mean, and I'm not being mean. Yeah. I just, if I could, if you said to me, I can only complete this, I'm only allowed to have one, and I had to share with my friend Marshall, I'd say, you're not getting this one. That's what. Why is it that I feel that? I think it's a crunch, man. I love the crunch.
Could be that. Could be. It's just personal preference. I mean, it does have a little bit of a different taste for sure.
It has a completely different taste. I just taste it. It doesn't taste like the same recipe, but it's
good. And then we were talking earlier too, you could even get a different taste if you took that broiled crab cake and you pan fried it. It would be, you know, you have it more flat and it would be crispier on the outside, but you wouldn't have the breading on it necessarily. So
you're from Pennsylvania, you're a dead fan. I'm learning about you. You and I are gonna be okay together. I saw the Black Crowes last night in Philadelphia, so that's as close as you can get to the Dead without seeing like John Mayer. Did you go to Dead and Company?
That's a sore subject. Many years ago, my wife and I were scheduled to go see them out in Vegas when they started their one tour. And my youngest son, all my boys were into sports. Well, my youngest had a tournament that weekend that we just could not get out of for whatever reason. So
you haven't seen Mayer play with the Dead
we
yet?
We have not.
I should have taken you up to Hershey 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we had to put our family ahead of our own personal entertainment, so to speak.
I put music ahead of everything, except crab cakes on Fridays. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Marshall Weston's here from the Restaurant Association of Maryland, Maryland Restaurant Week. Was last week, this week, but it's any time, and you can always get out and support your local restaurants. We are being supported by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're up here at Greenmount Station with Chris Richards, my longtime friend who has made me many crab cakes. This feels like coming home, dude. Like, I mean, I've had maybe 48 crab cakes, M1 Crab Imperial. You remember that last week?
Absolutely.
I got the Crab Imperial at Costas. I broke my own crab cake rule. Because I've been in your place. I've done 50 shows here. I don't know that I've ordered much else here. I don't know that
I don't think you have either.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even know what else you have on your menu. Like, to really... What else should I get here?
He's never tried your jerk chicken? You've never brought out
that out? Jerk chicken?
No.
It's an appetizer, jerk chicken strips. That's a
underrated
popular item. I mean, the crab dip, but I mean, then we're selling the crab. You know, we have, I didn't realize how many items we have with jumbo lump crab meat on it until we've had to recently, with the spike of crab meat over the summer, we've had to raise prices on those, temporarily raise prices.
Do you do like a chicken Chesapeake kind of thing?
We've got 17 items on the menu that have jumbo lump crab meat in it. 17 different menu items.
I want to make you name it like Forrest Gump. Shrimp, potatoes,
well,
17 items. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so I don't know
if
I'm going to name them all. We do stuffed mushroom caps. So.
Can I have some to go home?
Sure.
Oh, now you're... I didn't know you did
You didn't
those.
Even know that.
Yeah. Do you do crab imperial? You don't do crab imperial.
We do crab imperial as well. Crab imperial, we do stuffed salmon. We do the chicken Chesapeake.
Why would I get your crab imperial when the fried crab cake tastes as good? Why would I wouldn't get the broiled crab cake because the fried crab cake tastes so good. I don't. This is my problem. I come here and this is what I want.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people.
I want it right now, but I'm too busy talking to eat it. So I'm going to end the show. Is that all right? You got anything
else
you want to say?
It's your show.
I just want to eat. Thank you for everything, man. 15 years. Chris has been a partner in what we do up here. We've had a lot of players here. In this room alone, I think about how many pictures and videos and how many human beings, how many Pat Ricard's been here, Nick Boyle's been here, Steve Smith's been here, Bradley Bozeman's been here.
Marshall Yonda.
Dennis Pitt has been here. Marshall Yonda's been here. Sam Cook, Steve Smith.
Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones been here. So we've been coming here a long, long time. You can, if you Google me and Greenmount Station, all sorts of things pop up. But it's been a beautiful thing to be up here in Hempstead today, celebrating with Marshall from the Restaurant Association of Maryland. Thanks for making a second effort to come back. Now that I know you're a Grateful Dead guy.
You got it. I'm well-rounded. We can talk about anything at any time.
Well, you're coming back on the show. I've decided. I like you. I've decided I've recruited you. Now you're screwed. I mean, once I invite you into the dog pound, it's a mess over here. Yeah. And I hope to get back up here and see you again. So thanks for being a great partner all the years.
Sounds good.
And for continuing to expand. I mean, come on up and watch the horse races up here, right?
Well, and when we get sports betting.
Tell everybody what's currently going on here now so they know.
We're just in the application phase of getting the sports wager or the sports book, sports betting license. And we're hoping by the end of the year, like we mentioned earlier, hopefully by the end of the year we'll be able to take wagers on every sport that's on the board. So that's where we're at right now. And hopefully in the coming weeks we'll have a little bit more, like might have a definitive date or a time. But right now we're still in that first initial stage.
Never let it be said your old man didn't know something about crab cakes. I love that you said connoisseur, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This is a hell of a recipe. Come on up here to Greenmount Station. Come see the friends at Hempstead. Come up during Christmas and enjoy the Christmas lights up here. Yep. Come get a crab cake. Or you can order them from wherever you are right now, one click, and they'll be... I don't know it'll taste as good. You better fry it the right way when you get it home. Make it good. Appreciation to Restaurant Association of Maryland as well. And all of our friends at the Maryland Lottery, let yourself play. I am Nestor on behalf of everybody here at WNST. Make sure you're checking out Luke's work. I don't know Owings Mills this week, getting ready for the Denver Broncos. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we are well fed and on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and Baltimore Positive.